Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the gospel story for this weekend, we hear of the four stretcher bearers who bring a paralyzed man to Jesus. Now they do something that is very unique. They recognize that their pathway to Jesus is blocked because the crowd is so vast. And so out of desperation, they climb upon the roof of the house and they cut a hole in the roof and they lower this paralyzed man down to Jesus. These men are motivated by faith and trust in Christ. By faith and trust, they know if they can just get this paralyzed man near Jesus, Jesus will cure him. And he does. But notice why Jesus cures this man. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Jesus was impressed with the faith of these four stretcher bearers and therefore healed the paralytic. Now notice what Jesus says to this man. He says, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now, isn't that odd? Isn't that strange? Why doesn't Jesus just say, "Get up, pick up your mat, and go home"? He knows this man is paralyzed, yet he says to him, "Your sins are forgiven." Why? Well, what we have to understand, in the ancient world, illness was associated with sin. The people believed back in the time of Christ that if you were deaf, dumb, blind, paralytic, whatever disease you had, it was a direct cause of your sinfulness. Somehow you did something to make God angry, and out of retaliation, God caused your illness. Now bring that theory or that thought into our present day and age. Your high blood pressure is a direct result of your sinfulness. Your diabetes, your asthma, is due to the fact that you are a sinner, and God is retaliating against you because of your sinfulness. Recall the story in John's Gospel when Jesus and the apostles are entering the gates of Jerusalem. They see the blind beggar at the gate, and the apostles ask Jesus specifically, "What did this man or this man's parents do to cause his sinfulness?" Jesus responds by saying, "No one did anything sinful to cause his blindness. His blindness was simply due to a physical abnormality." Now we know in this day and age of science and technology and medicine, the notion of sin being a cause of our illness is rubbish. Yet during Jesus' time, this was the prevalent thought. Jesus also recognizes that this way of thinking is just ridiculous, and therefore he heals this man of his sin. Now recognize how Jesus will heal him. He'll heal him from the inside out. First his soul, and then his physical body. Yet stay with that notion of paralysis. Maybe we know people that are paralyzed, not necessarily physically, but instead spiritually paralyzed, and are in need of our help to get them to Christ for healing and reconciliation. Maybe we know people that are paralyzed by anger for the way the church has dealt with these priest pedophile scandals. Maybe we know people that are paralyzed due to the sins of their own past life. And these people feel or think that given what I've done in my past life, there's no way that God could possibly forgive me. And therefore, they stay away from the Mass or the church. Maybe there are people that we know that are paralyzed because the church has hurt them in some way, shape, or form, or ministers of the church have hurt them. Whatever it may be, There are people out there spiritually paralyzed, unable to come to Christ or His church for their own healing. And therefore, they need our help. They need the help of people of faith and trust. And that is us. We are people who truly believe that if we, as stretcher bearers, bring these people to Jesus Christ, Christ can heal them and reconcile them back to the Father. Now, what's the worst thing that we could possibly do? Have the attitude of, well, if these people no longer go to Mass and no longer participate in the life of the Christian community, that's not my problem. You know, who am I to interfere? I'm not here to judge them. So if they want to do that, so be it. Well, wrong. If we truly believe we make up the body of Christ, then if there is one person that is absent or hurting from our faith community, then it will eventually affect us all. A great analogy is the organs of a body. There's no way the stomach can say to the liver, "Liver, I know you're hurting. I know you have a disease, but it won't affect me, and therefore I can go on my merry way." Well, wrong. If that liver isn't treated and isn't healed, then eventually it'll affect all the organs of the body. So too with us. If we know people are out there that are hurting, that are absent from our faith community, no longer participating in the Mass or the life of the community, then it will gradually affect our entire communal life. So what must we do? We must be the stretcher bearers, as in the gospel. We must go out with faith and trust that Jesus Christ can heal these people and be conduits of God's grace and help those people be reconciled back to God. Why? Well, the answer can be found in the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Listen now what Isaiah writes. Thus says the Lord, "Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago consider not. See, I am doing something new." What Isaiah is telling us is we have a God that is a God of the future and not of the past. Our God is a God that is constantly ahead of us, always forward, luring us in to an intimate relationship with Him. Remember the story in which Moses encounters God on Mount Sinai. Towards the end of their discussion, Moses says to God, "What is your name, so that I may tell all the people?" God says to him, "My name is I Am Who I Am." What's so interesting is now scripture scholars are examining the original Greek text in which the Bible was written in. And now they offer another translation for God's name. I will be who I will be. What's the ramifications of this? Our God is a God of the future. Our God is a God that is constantly in front of us, always. Great example of this is the story of the Exodus. After the Israelites make their way through the Red Sea and go into the Sinai Desert, it is God who leads them, who is constantly in front of them, leading them to the Promised Land. During the day, God's presence takes the form of a cloud. At night, it's a pillar of burning fire. Throughout the entire time in the Sinai Desert, God is constantly ahead of the Israelites, leading them to the Promised Land. A great analogy for us is a parent teaching a child to learn to walk. How do they do that? Well, the parent takes the child and places them in the center of the room. Then the parent takes a few steps forward ahead of the child. Then the parent begins to clap their hands. They move their arms. They coerce, they lure the child to begin to walk towards them. All the while, the parent is maintaining eye contact with the child. And in that eye contact, the child looks at the parent and now feels a sense of trust and faith. that it is okay, that they are safe. And then, after a while, the child takes one step, and then another, and then another. And after a while, the child is now walking towards the parent. Meanwhile, the parent is still coercing the child. They're clapping their hands, they're waving their arms for the child to come closer and closer to them. My friends, that image is exactly what God does for us. Our God is a God that is constantly in front of us, luring us, waving his arms towards us so that we can gradually walk towards him so as to participate in a more intimate union with him. And see, that's the key to understanding the scriptures for this weekend. Our God is a God of the future. He's always in front of us, always ahead of us, luring us to come towards him. Our God is a God who wants nothing more for us to be the person he wants us to become. I'll say that again. God wants nothing more for us to be the person he wants us to become. And see, that's why it's so important for us to bring this powerful message to all those people that are spiritually paralyzed, that cannot come to Jesus on their own. We must go to them as stretcher bearers and tell them this great message that God wants to help them be the person that God intended them to become. How do we do that? A simple phone call, a simple note, a simple visit, a simple prayer. These are all ways in which we now become the stretcher bearers for those people that need to be brought to Christ and yet can't do it on their own. Notice, Isaiah concludes this powerful scripture piece for this weekend. He writes, "The Lord God said, 'You burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your crimes. It is I who wipe out for my own sake your offenses. Your sins I remember no more.'" God is not obsessed with our past sins. But is God hurt by our sins? Yes, always. All sin hurts God. All sin hurts our relationship with God. Yet, through the powerful gift of the sacrament of reconciliation, confession, God says to us, "Your sins are forgiven. And now turn and look to the future where I am and where I wish you to be with me." It is in the future that God, like a parent, is ahead of us, in front of us, constantly luring us into a greater relationship with him. God isn't standing up in heaven with a clipboard, charting all of our sins, ready to pounce on us. No. Instead, God is more interested in the person we will become. God sees that person now in each and every one of us, and offers us that vision. Better yet, now he gives us the ability to live into that vision. And my friends, that truly is the good news for us this weekend. And may the peace and the mercy of Christ rest upon you always.